Hi, everyone. It's Teresa. Welcome to the Safe Harbor Podcast, a podcast for parents of children with disabilities and the people who love them. Today, I have a solo episode for you. It's about a topic I've been thinking a lot about. It's about hope and put into context the cycles of grief that we experience and how hope relates to those and how gratitude can help us get through those tough times. So I want to begin by saying that parenting a child with a disability is a roller coaster. We have ups and we have downs. And so I want to focus a bit on those down times. They happen sometimes out of the blue. And I want to talk with you about how we cope through those down times and how we help ourselves rise up to those good times, like go back up on that roller coaster to see the sun, to feel the warmth of the world, the goodness, to smell the flowers, to appreciate all that is right. So here's an example from my life right now. Yesterday was a really good day. For those of you who might be new to the podcast, my daughter Lisa is 33 years old. She has Rett syndrome, which is a significant developmental disability, and she's completely dependent on us for everything. So Lisa had a really good day yesterday. She was very happy. She attended a Sunday school class by Zoom and really enjoyed it. And she was able to answer a question posed by the teacher using her augmentative communication device. We had pre-programmed it with the answer. So that was really cool. And I just felt, oh, you know, there's just greatness in the world and good people who do things like running this Sunday school. So it was a real high. And then last night, she was up most of the night, actually every couple of hours. And what she does is she makes these repetitive sounds. It's kind of like a four-sequence yell. And she just does it over and over and over and over again for 30 to 45 minutes or more. And then she'll stop, she'll fall asleep. And then an hour or two, she wakes up again and starts all over. Not terribly unusual for a girl with Rett syndrome, but very hard to deal with. And we have tried everything we've thought of. We've tried all kinds of medications. We've tried leaving her TV on all night with the sound on, with the sound off, having no TV on, having her room very dark, going in and calming her down, trying to give her water. Nothing really seems to work. And I'm not 20 and far from it. And so not being able to sleep all night is really hard for anybody, but I think especially as we get older. So today I woke with a feeling of hopelessness. So there went that roller coaster, boom, right down to the bottom. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a difference a day and a sleepless night can make. Because I just felt again overwhelmed by the enormity of her disability and the impact on our lives and thought, how can I be happy? How? Plus, my mind just starts, you know, ruminating on what if this never ends? What if this continues? How is anybody ever going to care for her if it's not her parents? Who could tolerate this? So it was pretty dark. But then I got her up, got her settled with breakfast and dressed. I had myself some coffee. She was fine. I'm sure she's exhausted. And then I pushed myself to get on the yoga mat and spend time, about a half hour, doing a class. And I'll tell you, that made a world of difference. That moment of time to settle in, focus on my heart, focus on my breathing, give my body some stretching, some movement, a physical challenge. The world did not seem so bleak anymore. So is it amnesia? Have I forgotten what we just went through? Do I believe that it's never going to happen again? Of course not. What went on? I think it's hope. I think that I had a settling in of a feeling of accepting what is and believing that there is a light on the horizon, that it won't be like this forever, and that there is goodness. So, wow, what a restorative moment this morning. And it gives me kind of ammunition to face whatever's coming, because we know there's always something, right? So that's what motivated me to sit down and do this episode today, because I have been thinking about hope and in the context of moving away from looking or focusing on the negativity and focusing on the positivity. We've been through Lisa's birthday just a little over a month ago, and that's always hard, as I'm sure it is for many families, many parents of children with disabilities, because it is a reminder of what has changed, what is different than perhaps we thought could be. But then again, there's the joy in having her with us and in seeing the wonderful things that she can do and that she, just her beautiful soul, brings to our lives. And I feel hope again. So in doing some research and writing and thinking about this episode, I came across a quote from a Vietnamese Buddhist monk and peace activist named Dinh Nhat Hanh. And he said, "Hope is important because it can make the present moment less difficult to bear. If we believe that tomorrow will be better, we can bear a hardship today." And I found that that resonated so strongly with me, that we do bear hardships and they come at us sometimes relentlessly almost. But having hope and that belief that we will come out the other side okay or somewhat better, then I think that makes all of these challenges so much more bearable. Certainly not easy, but more bearable. So for parents of children with disabilities, what are the times when we lose hope? Certainly when we have received that first diagnosis, whenever that occurs. But then along the way, you know, it's not a straight path. There are new things that you have to acknowledge, you have to integrate. So perhaps an illness, a new feature of your child's disability, perhaps the emergence of seizures or the need for a surgery. As you go along and the child ages, a milestone not met, whether that be graduating from school or going to college or whatever it could be. So these things can all feel too much, even a bad day or a night. And we end up on this roller coaster of emotions. We can feel so down, but then how do we start to come up that other side? So it seems that human nature is geared toward helping us move towards hope, because it's a very healthy state. It's a very healthy state to approach life with optimism, regardless of whatever it is that we are dealing with. It's better for our bodies and it's better for our minds. So how do we help ourselves do this? There's tons of research out there on the benefits of self-care, which is something that is so popular now. So here are some ideas, and I'd like you to think about what might resonate with you, because not everything's going to feel right for every individual person. So the first thing is prayer, or praying to a higher power, whatever your belief system. The act of prayer moves our focus up and away from the earthly details to give us a wider perspective, to help us put whatever issue we're dealing with into that larger context. And it also helps us not feel alone, to feel supported, because there is something or someone out there that you are looking towards, that you are relying on. So for those of us who pray, just giving up your burden to that higher power, even hypothetically, can be very uplifting and freeing. And it is that moment of prayer, that meditative aspect, that can be so centering for the brain and the body, can be so calming. And that as you come out of that prayer state, you are much more in alignment. You have a much more centered sense of self. The energy that you are giving off to the world is more in sync with who you are. And you have almost reinforced your strength so that you can approach whatever is coming in a better way. In addition to prayer, another option is physical exercise. There's lots of research on the benefits, certainly either of just walking, some type of aerobic activity, just moving your body, focusing on the physical. It can lighten your mood and fill you with positive endorphins. For me, I like walking, but I also have found that I've really become very enamored of yoga. I find that it does wonders. Sitting on the mat, focusing on breath work, helps me center my soul and fills me with positivity. It truly helped me this morning. I could feel my balance improving, my heart opening, my mind clearing, just as a result of a 30-minute practice. So it is a very, very healthy option if that's something that is appealing to you. Another thing that's gotten a lot of attention recently is having a gratitude practice. So gratitude is very good for our brains, and there's lots of data on this. The hypothalamus is part of our brain that regulates a number of our bodily functions, including our appetites, our sleep, how we maintain our temperature, our metabolism, and growth. And a study in 2009 by the National Institutes of Health showed that our hypothalamus is activated when we feel gratitude or when we display acts of kindness. So gratitude is, say, an inward practice, and the act of kindness is an outer practice towards someone else. This research suggests that our healthy, optimal functioning is heightened and improved so much by developing a gratitude practice. Acts of kindness and feelings of gratitude give our brains lots of dopamine, so dopamine hits. So that's another chemical that really helps the brain by making us feel very positive. And when we get this feeling, it's kind of an addictive feeling, right? When we're flooded with dopamine and we are motivated to feel it again. So engaging in a gratitude practice actually increases the likelihood you're going to continue to feel more gratitude. And you're going to be more inclined to give thanks and also to do good for others because of how it makes you feel, because of these neurological benefits. So it becomes something, a cycle of positivity to help you stay out of that cycle of negativity and inward focus on problems. So there's lots of health benefits to gratitude. It can help us feel less pain. It can help us decrease the pain that we're feeling, and it can also help us be more willing to exercise and move our bodies, which exercise has been shown to reduce lots of different kinds of pain. So gratitude, having a gratitude practice, can help reduce the physical pain that you feel. It can also improve your sleep. Gratitude can increase the quality of our sleep. It can decrease the time it takes to fall asleep, and it can also help us sleep longer. So lots of people engage in gratitude practice in the evening right before bed because of the dopamine hit that it gives them to help them enter into peaceful sleep. It can help us relieve some stress. By sleeping better, of course, we're going to be more relaxed, but also people who focus on acknowledging their blessings, on being grateful, have been able to decrease their blood pressure. So it can really help with stress reduction and decreasing cortisol, which is the most prominent stress hormone and which does lots of damage to our bodies if our cortisol levels are high. And we as parents of children with disabilities are facing stress over and over and over again. So we are having cortisol flooding our bodies over and over again. And if we can engage in healthy practices that are easy to integrate into our lives, we can help our bodies heal and then be in better shape to deal with whatever we're having to deal with. There's lots of data that shows that you can have reduced anxiety and depression by engaging in a gratitude practice. It can make people really change their behaviors because of the improvement in the brain function. So isn't that a positivity benefit that you can think of? And certainly the profound sadness that so many of us encounter because of the challenges that our children face can lead to depression. And helping us move away from that state to a state of positivity can certainly help with managing those dark times. Gratitude can increase our energy and vitality. So the benefits go on and on. So how do we begin? How do you start a gratitude practice? Some people integrate it into either their morning or their nighttime routine. And there's lots of research that shows that having a morning routine that is a centering routine that helps you take a moment to care for yourself, then sets your day off to a very good start and increases the likelihood that you're going to have a happier day. Now, you're like me, you're probably going to say, oh my gosh, I don't have any time for myself. And it is very likely that you feel that way. And it can be very hard to set aside those moments. So even if you could, when you wake up in the morning, before you even get out of bed, if you can remind yourself to engage in some type of gratitude, that can be where you start. Some people have journals where they write down and they say, I'm going to write down one thing I'm grateful for, or three things or five things, you know, pick your own number, it doesn't matter. And they write those down and they do that either in the morning or in the evening. It's a nice way to either start the day with a feeling of optimism or close the day with a feeling of optimism, which shifts your focus from whatever negativity you encountered towards entering your sleep cycle from a positive perspective. So healthy for you. So I'm wondering what you think about including a gratitude practice into your routine. As I said earlier, I know we are so busy, but if we can take just a few moments to incorporate that, it can help us move towards looking towards that hopeful state and certainly help us come out of those dark moments. Do you have a gratitude practice? I'm really interested in learning. Make sure you stop by the Safe Harbor Facebook group and weigh in. I'd love to hear what you're doing and also your thoughts on this. You can also reach out to me on Instagram to share your thoughts. My friend Laura Will, who I interviewed in episode 13, writes a blog for NoRare. And if you haven't listened to her episode, please go check it out because she's an amazing mother of a child with a disability. And she writes beautifully on many topics about having a child with a disability. And so she wrote a blog for NoRare on this topic of hope, and it's entitled Cultivating Flexible Hope, a look at the emotional cycles in chronic illness. And I found this blog as I was doing some research for this episode, And I'm going to link the blog in the show notes because I really recommend that you read it. What's so interesting is that Laura calls this type of hope a flexible hope. So I urge you to take a peek at it. She talks about how when there is a new event that occurs, say, for example, in her blog, she mentions that her son might need a wheelchair. And so that's a devastating thing to learn. And she talks about how she was able to integrate that data and adapt to it and then come out on the other side with an attitude of hope. And so she writes beautifully about these emotional cycles that we go through and how we can cultivate a sense of hope. So please take a look at the show notes so that you can find Laura's blog on the NoRare website. I hope you found this short solo episode of some help. I always want to try to give you a sense of community, that you have a feeling that you are not alone, that even though each of our journeys looks different, we are on similar paths, and we can be united in what is similar, and we can help each other as we navigate these sometimes very treacherous waters. So thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week with a great guest for you. So please remember to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Please remember to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and visit my website. Everything will be in the show notes. I thank you so much for rating and reviewing the podcast. It helps other people find us. So please do that. And you as a listener, I express my gratitude to you. So here's my gratitude. One aspect of my gratitude today is to say thank you. Thank you so much for your kindness in being a listener. I know your time is precious, so I extend my gratitude to you and my best wishes. Stay well.